nothing but a hound dog.
Here we go then. We are barking at the moon. This is myself, Joe Good, and Anna Webb. Our Facebook page has gone absolutely crazy. This time last week we were broadcasting from Crufts. Do you realise, Anna, that was only a week ago?
I know, it just seems so much longer. We've packed it all in. But wasn't that good fun?
It was such good fun. And my lingering memory was Anna and I, we were staying at the Holiday Inn. We ate a T-bone steak. We then drank Red Bull. And we were literally wired by the time we came on air.
So
we were so out of it.
Well, we kept going. We were in there till 3 a.m.
We were in Crufts. They left us in there alone at the NEC with Mel.
Yes.
And our dogs.
And Matt from Talking Point.
Thank you, everybody on Facebook, offering messages of good luck to Matilda. And she is fine, and she's going to be coming home tomorrow. Hurrah! Well, I said you was high class. Well, very soon we're going to be talking to the author of a book that I have only just started, and I really seriously can't put it down. Andrew Dilger has written a book called Dash Bitch of the Year, all about a champion racer and a greyhound, and also his wife. I mean, don't mean he married the greyhound, but he was going to marry the wife at the same time as getting the greyhound. It's a fantastic read. Some messages on Facebook. Anna, do you want to read a few out?
Let's see what we've got here.
Paul Cook says, Happy St. Patrick's Day. We're going to be talking about Irish breeds in a moment.
We are talking about Irish breeds. We've got Louisa Duggan here says, Loving the trailer for a different breed. Makes me hoot with laughter. Can't wait to see the show. And think we'll be singing Anna's schnoodle song for the rest of the day.
Anna's schnoodle song has to be seen to be believed. It is on Facebook if you have a look. We now have 434 members.
Wow, this time it's this morning.
Well, we had a what was it? 350 last week. So we've added 100 new members to Facebook, and it is possibly one of the most interactive Facebook pages at the BBC. There is so much information. There are loads of little movies of Big George out with his dog in Soho, movies of Anna and Molly at home dressing up from the dressing up box.
Yes.
There are trailers to the Sky series, which is going out. Different breed goes out on Sky One on April the 6th. There are loads of messages and endorsements to our next guest, she's actually P. Horsley. Welcome to Barking at the Moon. You are a member of the family, basically.
Hi, Joe.
Woof, woof.
Woof, 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 P. Woof.
And you've been here, really. I think you were on our very first show. We know more and more about you through your clients, really, through people that you meet and that you work with. And every time you're due to come on, there are more and more messages up there about how much you've saved people. Well, not saved their pets, saved them psychologically, I think, which is hugely important, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big part of the work is actually helping the people through the link with their animal. It's lovely that people write into you, actually. So thank you to everybody that's done that. And it's really supporting animal communication and the message behind animal communication. That's great.
Well, an example of this, and I have to be careful not to get so indulgent, is I didn't tell you that Matilda's been in intensive care for 3 days.
Yeah, I heard just tonight when I was listening.
Well, what's really interesting is one of our listeners sent me a message on Facebook reiterating what you said when we went to your animal communication course in
Ickenham. That's right. Yes,
which I love.
It was great. It was only a few weeks ago, actually.
Yes.
It was such good fun.
And that on that one, Molly was the teacher, but on the very first one, Matilda was.
That's right. Yes.
So Matilda is brought in at the end of the course, and these courses are really fascinating. And your students study the dog and see what the dog is teaching. And when Matilda came in, and I'll never forget. Get this. You actually said it, I think, that she's keeping an eye on you, Joe. You think you're keeping an eye on her, but she's actually mothering you a great deal. And somebody sent a message on Facebook saying she will be really worried that she can't keep an eye on. I'm going to get really emotional now. Keep an eye on me. And that was, and I just thought, this is exactly what happened out of that. And this is an example of animal communication, that we all think we're looking after them, and they are actually keeping an eye out for all of us.
A lot of them are. And the way I could help you as an animal communicator, even though you're not allowed for the benefit of Matilda to go in and see her at the moment, I could be the link through to her via her photo, so that you could give her messages and say, I know that everything's going well, your operation is fine, and I'm fine, so don't worry about me. All you've got to do now is to get completely better, and when you get back, we're going to have a big party. And I can be that link between you and her. You know, that's one of the jobs that I do, amongst the many other things that I do.
I wish I'd thought about that, P, because she's coming home tomorrow, but that would have been such a help. Because you understand this, don't you, Anna?
Yeah, definitely. It's like an elastic band. It's kind of extending on what Rupert Sheldrake, the paranormal scientist who's joined us on the show several times, talks about. It's about social bonds between certain people and their dogs or their cats or their horses. And P is extending on this to really tap in to this bond, basically, this elastic band, an invisible elastic band that exists between you and Matilda.
Yeah, and it is definitely the loving link between the guardian and the animal. So if I give you an example, which also explains how I work, one of the animals that I found was a little Jack Russell dog called Marmite. And Marmite had been missing for a week by the time his guardian contacted me. And she lived next to a sand quarry, so she presumed that he'd gone digging down the holes after rabbits. And she'd got the search team in, she'd got search dogs in, she'd got a little mini digger, she'd got a JC digger, she'd got thermal imaging kits. She'd done the entire works. And as often happens, she came to me as a last resort. That's when people normally come to me. And I printed off his photo that she emailed me, and I am linking in with him using the senses in a very deep, intuitive way. You have to really still the mind. So it helps to meditate a lot, it helps to do yoga, and just to be quite a still, quiet person to be able to do this. And then you use the senses to receive information. And so with him, I connected with him, and then I started to say, where did you go? And he showed me how he left this house, the route he took, the landmarks he passed. So, you know, exactly what the fencing looked like, exactly the layout of the fencing to the field, to the wood, the direction he went. And he said, because you can receive thoughts, because thoughts are energy at the end of the day. So it's an energetic exchange with the animals, because it's a non-verbal exchange, so it's all energy-based. And he expressed this thought that I received, and he said, 1 mile. And so I knew he'd gone for 1 mile. And then I did this technique where you can move your consciousness into the body of the animal. And I moved my awareness, basically, inside him. And I immediately found myself in this concrete, man-made concrete shaft, and I looked up out of his eyes, and I could see that I was really deep down in the earth, at least 8 foot, if not longer, and I had the feeling of water over my hands. And I was obviously thinking, oh my God, I've got to stay calm because this doesn't feel good. And I said, how do we find you? And I then moved my awareness out of him to above where he was, above in the air looking down, and it was all brambles. And I'm thinking, God, I can't see any landmark. So I said to him, how are we going to find you? And he said to me, you've got enough. So I went back to his guardian, I phoned her up, and I gave her all this information. And she said, to start with, she said, there's nowhere like this. There is nowhere with water anywhere near me. It's all sand. But I said, no, please think about it. I could really feel water over my hands as if my hands were his paws. And she thought about it for a minute, and then she said, well, there's only one place that could be. It is about a mile away from here. But I've called there already. But I said, well, please go back. You've got nothing to lose. And she said, but the thing is, it's all brambles. How am I going to find him? He doesn't ever bark. This is a Jack Russell who doesn't bark. It's so unlikely.
<right. Yes.
laughs> And so I said, don't worry about that. I'll sort that out. I'll ask him. And so I went back to him and said, you have to bark. If this is a matter of life and death, you know, you might have this one chance. If you hear her, you bark. And don't stop barking, Marmite, until you see her eyes, until you're really with her. And I finished with him, and I'd finished with his guardian, and I went on and made my dinner, because you don't expect to hear anything for quite a while. But the phone rang an hour later, and she is screaming down the phone to me, saying, I found him. He's exactly where you said. He's stuck down a 12-foot disused canal shaft. It's all concrete. There's a grill above. It's all brambles. And she said, I called his name and I heard him shouting, and that's how I found him. And she had to climb in the brambles to get to the place. And then she had to call the fire brigade to get him out, because it was such a weird, awkward shape. They couldn't get to him at all. So they lowered his bed down the shaft.
Wow.
And he jumped into his bed. And he's still barking the entire time. And he doesn't stop barking until he's in her arms. And that's for the first time he goes quiet.
This is one of such stories. I'm telling you, there are loads. More and more arrive in my inbox and also on Facebook. This is the strength of communication between P and her subjects. I'm going to read another one out now. This is from somebody who says, it's from Sandy and Mara. Some people say that being able to talk to animals is impossible, but I know from first-hand experience that P is truly gifted and she is able to talk to the animals. To be honest, I was somewhat sceptical. I'm sure loads of people are, actually, when a friend passed on P's contact number to me about 3 years ago when I needed help with my troubled dog. Since that first call, P has communicated with her at least three, maybe four times. All the information she has gleaned really has helped us, but more importantly, has helped our dog, who isn't perfect by any means, but is so much better. We're so grateful to her. She's really made a difference. So I don't know if you remember those people.
Oh, yes, I do. Absolutely, and they've got a gorgeous dog.
I'm kicking myself that I didn't actually use you whilst Matilda was in, because it's the weirdest feeling when I know she's in really good hands, but you know, they were saying, oh, there's always a nurse with her, and I just thought, but that means nothing to me. That means absolutely nothing. If I could just, because I kept saying, if I can take a T-shirt in that she can smell of me,
yeah.
And they were saying, no, that anything like that, because it's the breathing, is going to upset her. And so I think if anyone is listening whose dog is, for any reason that you're away from them, maybe on holiday.
In quarantine. Yeah.
Quarantine must be so frustrating, mustn't it?
I help a lot of people with their animals in quarantine.
Yeah, gosh, you know, so it's just being isolated and apart. But I think the quarantine system's going to be... Sorry about Molly speaking here.
She loves to talk.
She does love to talk.
She's communicating.
She is talking back. I think the quarantine thing's stopping, actually, as of the beginning of next year.
Is it?
Yeah, with the passport scheme.
Yeah.
And the fact that all the dogs, you know, are already vaccinated with rabies. So that's what I've heard, anyway.
Well, that's a wonderful thing.
Mm. Because it's horrible for them to be so alone. And dogs that haven't been in kennels, that's the thing. Being in a kennel environment can really, really stress a dog out if they're not used to it.
Talking about kennel environments, I was teaching at the Sheffield Animal Centre just a couple of weeks ago at the RSPCA. And we had two of the animals that they're, you know, hoping to be adopted come in on the second day. And... it was absolutely wonderful. We had a cat to start with who was 14 years old with the herpes virus. And
That's so weird. We've just been talking to this vet.
Yes, elephants.
The elephants are affected by herpes. And I was saying, you never imagine animals to pick up a virus like that, do you? And that it can be absolutely fatal in elephants. Anyway, so I don't know if it is in cats.
Not in cats, but you have to take care. And so she'd been overlooked, but she came into our workshop and she looked a frail little thing. She could hardly stand up, but she had this incredible presence and energy. And two of the students fell in love with her. And at the end, they were fighting over her about who was going to have her, but in the way that they couldn't really fight over her, because she decided to interview them via me and ask them all these questions about what their homes were like and whether she's going to get fresh chicken and was there grass and sun and... or, you know, lots of different things. And she chose who she wanted to go home with.
Oh, wow.
Gosh, how did the other one feel about that?
She was okay because she could see
right.
that she, you know, the cat had chosen the right person. But so the cats, she was representing the cats, and they were saying they desperately wanted to get out and get their feet on the grass and feel the sun. And the thing that the dogs complained about, we had a staffy, and there were loads and loads of bull dogs there. I mean, loads of them.
Oh, dear.
This staffy Ty, he was saying that the thing that they couldn't cope was people just coming and staring at them.
Yes.
And that they desperately wanted walkers. You know,
yes.
A lot of these rescues really need volunteers to go in and take the dogs out because they're so understaffed because they haven't got the money.
When we were filming at the Mayhew, they were exactly the same thing there. And they were saying that the thing is that once you commit yourself, you must keep doing it. It's no good just saying, I'm going to do, you know, 1 week and then the next week I can't.
I think it's a great thing to do.
Because otherwise I would do it. I would love to do that. But I know I'm always letting people down. But I just would love to just take dogs out.
It's a great thing.
I'm doing something.
Exactly. And particularly if you're thinking about getting a dog, but you're not sure. You might never have walked one on a lead before, you know, then to go and work in a rescue centre is a great way of practising. Yeah.
P, something I've never said to you, when we've sat in on two of your workshops now, and what I think is very interesting is you. I always watch you. Because whereas Molly was with on Anna's lap,
she was asleep. She is now.
But I was just watching you because you literally, you go really quiet and you squint almost. Did you
do
know?
I?
When you're looking at you go because you were standing in front of the whole class and then you sort of squint and your concentration is extraordinary. Is that when you are getting some kind of communication from the animal? Because you just completely stop talking. I don't even know if you know if you're doing this, but I've never been sat at that angle before, and it's just really interesting to see what you do. Do you know that you have a physical response?
I didn't know I had a physical response. I know that I go quiet because I am getting to know the animal because I might have only just met them the minute they've walked in the room in front of the students. Mm. And I am asking them how they're feeling. So straight away, I want to know, are there any physical issues that we really should be thinking about and expressing? And I'm asking them, what do you want to say? What do you want me to ask you? Because then you always get the best questions, actually. Mm. What do you want to talk about? So that's often why I go quiet.
Have you got any courses coming up anywhere near London in the near future?
I'm trying to find a London venue at the moment. So if anybody out there knows of a church hall or village hall that will allow animals inside,
yes, that's
please get in touch with me. But I've got a couple of London courses in Wimbledon in August, and I'm going to have more later in the year as soon as I've found the venue.
There you go. Have you got anywhere in London, or do you want a specific part of London, or anywhere will do?
Anywhere at the moment. I will take all offers.
Okay. Because we love it. And the one we go to in Ickenham, it's lovely, and everyone has tea, and it's in a really lovely hall. So if there are any halls out there, maybe halls that do have dog training classes, actually.
That would probably be a really good
one,
idea.
Actually, I could mention where they do puppy training near me.
Oh, yeah, that one. I know that one.
Okay.
So,
great.
Very central.
Yeah. In Marylebone, actually. So, but anyone have got any other local halls, let us know. And don't forget, keep messaging us on Facebook tonight because we're going to work through as many as possible. How is Morgan, your own dog?
You know, he's great. At the moment, he's great. In fact, he had some acupuncture this morning.
Oh, good for him.
We love acupuncture.
Yeah, with Alistair, who you've had on.
And he's Molly's vet. He's on next week.
He is on next week.
He loves a bit of acupuncture. In fact, most of the time, as soon as he sees Alistair, Alistair will kneel on the floor and Morgan will just go and lie right next to his leg and wait for it. And you know, sometimes he has the effect of having had acupuncture before he's even had it.
Well, there you are,
he starts just snoozing.
The placebo effect, is that what they call that?
Yeah. How wonderful for Alistair, though, to know that he gives out that vibe.
Yeah. You know, he's got a lovely, calm aura he has.
Now, it is St. Patrick's Day, as I say. I got married on this day.
Did you?
Yes. Oh. Trying to block it from my mind. God, how many years ago was that? A long time ago. Anyway, so I always remember when it's St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th, and we thought we'd have a look at some of the Irish dog breeds.
Yes.
Right, I'm going to put you on the spot, P. Horsley.
Oh, God.
Can you name one Irish dog breed?
Irish Wolfhound.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well done.
So there are quite a few, Anna, aren't there?
There's eight altogether. So there's the Irish Spaniel, there's the Kerry Blue, there's the Soft Wheaton Terrier, there's the Irish Terrier, there's a very elusive Glen of Omal Terrier that is actually quite rare. We've also got the Irish Setter.
The Irish Water Spaniel.
The Irish Water Spaniel. We saw a couple of those at Crufts.
We did. Did you get to Crufts?
I didn't, I'm afraid. It's difficult for me to get away at the moment. I'm juggling a sort of dog sitting, really. Morgan, because he's such an old boy, he needs sort of 24/7 care. So my partner and I are juggling times.
You don't want to leave him alone?
I can't. Yeah. He really needs a lot of help. Yeah. So
I'm glad you're doing
dear.
No, but you do that for them, don't you?
You do, because you love them.
Of course you do. Yeah. But it was my first Crufts, and it completely blew my mind.
Did it?
I've never, ever been there before, and I absolutely loved it. But yes, we did see an Irish Water Spaniel. The dog that won, by the way, Anna, it was a smooth head.
It's a flat coat retriever.
But it was dark, wasn't it? I always think retrievers are golden.
That's a golden retriever. This is a completely different breed.
Oh.
And actually, flat coats can be liver coloured. They're more unusual than the black ones, and the one that won was black. Yeah. And then the little hound that came reserve best in show was a scent hound. And you know, we're going to be talking about greyhounds shortly.
We certainly
are. Greyhound is a sight hound. So there's two main different types of hounds. And the scent hounds are obviously lower to the ground because they use their noses. And sight hounds tend to be tall and athletic and slim and graceful because they need to run fast and use their eyes to catch their prey, whereas the scent hounds are more methodical and they'll sniff the ground. Isn't it interesting?
It really is. Also, thank you everyone on Facebook who are mentioning Irish breeds. If any of you have got an Irish breed and you want to give us a call, feel free to do so, because we can celebrate them this St. Patrick's Day. Just to go back, Pete, to Professor Rupert Sheldrake, who was on here last time. His latest research is, and I think we've spoken to you about this before, but it links into something that you were writing here, is animals that know when their owner's on the phone to them.
Yes.
On the phone to somebody else, if you get my meaning. So say, say you were looking after Matilda for me, and I phoned you. Would Matilda know that it was me you were talking to on the phone?
Mm.
Do you believe this?
I would say yes.
Yes. Well, he firmly believes it, and he's been doing his research. But you've written here about animals that know, or I don't know if it's you or someone who's worked with you, that knows when you're thinking of taking them for a walk before you actually gone to get the keys, the lead and everything else. Now, that is pure Rupert Sheldrake.
That is totally. It's a Sheldrake moment.
Morgan does that with me as well.
So when it's a thought, he will react before you've even made a move.
He even, because he knew I was coming on tonight, and actually at the moment, there's no one at home except Morgan.
Is he listening? I hope he is.
He'll be asleep. he normally, he likes to, he's Mr. Routine. He likes to sort of get ready for bed about 9 o'clock now. But because he knew I needed to leave about 9-ish, he started to say, OK, I'm ready to get to bed about 8:15. So by 9 o'clock, he was in bed snoring.
That's the way he has his bedtime.
Yes.
Can I also ask you, am I the only person that has a dog that I have to wake up in the morning? Does your dog wake up naturally? I have to wake Matilda up.
I have to wake Molly up.
Well, it depends how late he's gone to bed the night before, if he's had a late one.
he's had a late one, bless him.
He'll sleep. Well, the other morning he had a late one and he slept until 10 to 11. And I just let him.
But he's an old boy, so really he's allowed. But I think it's hysterical when dogs have lie-ins, you
know.
Because they're not meant to. I'm sure.
Well, it's
better.
I mean, Molly's got this habit. She will wake me up. This morning she woke me up and she will stand on my hair because that really hurts. And it sure wakes me up. And even if that doesn't work, this morning it was quite tough waking me up. So she stands over me and then, this is going to sound really gross, she licks my nose so that basically I can't breathe.
No.
She sticks her tongue up my nostrils.
I don't think I could take that.
And then it's like, seriously, get off Molly until I'm sitting upright. She will not stop.
You love a webcam on all this.
But then she gets back into bed and then I can't get her out of bed till about 10.
Oh no, that's naughty.
I know.
That
see, she's the devil.
I've got a feline equivalent of this that Texas will pad my cheeks. And if I ignore him, then he'll pad them with the claws.
Oh, no, you see? Same technique.
And it's all because he wants to be fed.
Yes. Well, Molly is worried that I'll oversleep because she knows that's not a nice state to be in the mornings.
Pete Horsley, it's lovely to see you. If anyone wants to get in touch with you, can we have your web address, please?
Yeah, it's www.animalthoughts.com. And I'm also on Facebook.
And also, there is a fantastic book which is called
Heart to Heart. It's available in English, Italian and Korean.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Gosh. Are you huge in Korea? Yes. We're huge in China, aren't we, Anna?
Yeah, and Australia.
And it's called, exactly. It's called Heart to Heart, published by
HarperCollins.
Woof, woof, P. Horsley.
Woof, woof.